What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Trying to get in an early rhythm for Daniels. Robinson on second and one. He's got the first down and more at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Brian Robinson!
To just get downhill.
You know, Brian Robinson Jr. didn't have like an overwhelming number of explosive runs in 2024. But that was certainly one of them. He had a 40-yard run early in the season against Arizona, and then had that 40-yard run in early December, early in the game against the Titans, that gave him a 7-0 lead. They went on to win that game easily, 42-19. And for him, it was one of his better days of the season. Good morning. The news from over the weekend, Washington has let teams know that Brian Robinson Jr. is available for trade. Ben Standing nailed it. Told us last week that he had a hunch, not a report, not information, which is even better, but an observational, common sense-ish hunch that Robinson Jr. might not be on the roster week one. Now, that hunch turned out to be spot on, even if Robinson Jr. ends up on the roster week one, because that was what we call in the trade sniffing one out. You're not going to get much back for him, I don't think. A sixth rounder, perhaps. The contract, you know, slash cap savings, $3.4 million, not peanuts if they move on from him. But it's also not like they're super desperate to clear room, although they could use a little more. They're at $17.2 million in available cap space. That's down to 25th in the league per spot rack. But again, what are they going to get back for Brian Robinson Jr.? A sixth rounder, projected sixth rounder, maybe even a conditional sixth or seventh for the running back that's been inconsistent throughout his career since being drafted in 2022 and not always available and 100%. What does this say about this development? You know, what does it say about what they're thinking? That's what I'd like to sort of, you know, take under our wing here in the opening segment of the show. A show that will include, by the way, Steve Sands at 11. Did you see Scottie Scheffler's shot at the BMW at Caves Valley yesterday on 17? Sands will talk some football with us as well, certainly about his favorite team at 11. 11:35, Ben Baby, who covers the Bengals for ESPN, will be our guest. There are some developments in Cincinnati as it relates to their very, very valuable pass-rushing defensive end, Trey Hendrickson, and whether or not they are actually actively shopping him again. Is Washington interested? I don't think so at this point. I don't think so. I think they would have been at a certain point, but not now. So Ben Baby will join us at 11:35, and then Ben Standing will join us and take a bow, although he will be reluctant to do so at 12. But what does this say about what they're thinking as it relates to Brian Robinson Jr.? I'll get to that in a moment, and I want your thoughts as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Before that, there was a little bit of news this morning on Terry McLaurin from Adam Schefter. I don't think it's that much of an update from the moment they activated Terry off the PUP list. And that was a a move that I think excited some and started some of those, you know, fan blogs and some of the other aggregators saying that a deal is imminent. No one in the know says a deal is imminent. Schefter this morning says that things are still status quo, quote, which means they are not close to a deal. Terry McLaurin still wants something north of the DK Metcalf deal. Schefter said that this morning. Washington thinks he's worth much less than that. Standoff continues despite the team taking him and activating him off the PUP list. So that is the news that I don't think is really a big update. It was Schefter's latest. We certainly saw a lot of people, including Ben, who is our insider on this show, talk about how, yes, they activated him, but this does not get, and all sources indicating that they are no closer to a deal. All right, so Brian Robinson Jr., what does making him available for trade, what does that mean in terms of how they are thinking about him and the running back situation? Because I think there are more, I think there's more than just one answer. I know what the answer will be for the majority of you, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong, because I don't know what the answer is for sure. I have a hunch on what the answer is, but I don't know what it is for sure. But I think the answer from most of you will be, well, old Bill, Chikori Crosky-Merritt, has been so impressive to them. They've got the answer. They were looking for an answer in the offseason. They didn't go free agency. They could have gone Najee Harris. They could have gone Rico Dowdle. They could have gone Raheem Mostert. They didn't take a running back early in the draft. I thought all offseason leading up to the draft, because I talked about this when the season ended, that I thought Brian Robinson Jr. would be a casualty. I did not think that there would be a Brian Robinson Jr. on the roster in 2025, but I changed my mind when they didn't pick a running back in the first, you know, on night two or early day three, which is what I thought they would do. I thought they were going to answer that question with a draft pick from what was a loaded running back draft, either on night two or early day three. They didn't do that. They waited until the seventh round to take the running back, and I immediately changed my mind. I got off Brian Robinson Jr. not being on the roster and either being cut or an attempt to trade him, because I didn't think that they had addressed the need. Because seventh round picks don't make contributions in the NFL. I've mentioned this many times before. You are looking for a needle in a haystack, similar to Sam Howell when they selected him in the fifth round and everybody thought that was the answer. It's a needle in a haystack. One seventh round running back over the last 10 years has made an impact. Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas City. Every other one, either not in the league or just a special teamer or way down the list in terms of contributors. So maybe they found the needle in a haystack, and maybe only they know. Look, we can observe, you know, whether it is training camp practices, joint practice, the one that they had with the Patriots, the other one this week canceled with the Ravens, preseason opportunities. I mean, he was impressive against the Patriots, but he didn't put on a performance. Like, as an example, the guy that I love, Damian Martinez, the back that got drafted by Seattle, the performance he put on the other night in a preseason game. It's not like you have, you know, 10 carries for 50 yards to kind of hang your hat on. You know, it was 7 for 24. Now, I did like some of the vision and some of the cuts, and one big play did get called back by penalty. But they know, you know, they know if that's the reason Brian Robinson Jr. is available via trade. If that's the reason, the coaches know. You know, Kingsbury and Quinn and Peters, everybody can watch this. They've got a running backs coach in Anthony Lynn who knows. Is this guy it or isn't he it? Who cares where we took him? We liked him, we took him, and we were right about him. Is that what they're thinking? Is that the answer? I think that's the answer many of you will have, is that they've got their first down back in Crosky Merritt. But there are other answers here. You know, there is the answer of, look, with Jaden at quarterback, all of our backs will benefit. Eckler was probably, when healthy, our most overall impactful back. Chris Rodriguez had some moments last year. As a runner, perhaps better, more consistent moments than even Brian Robinson Jr. And damn, do we love Jeremy McNichols. We love McNichols, not just as a special teamer. We like him as a back. Who knows? Maybe McNichols is the Jeremy Reeves offensive equivalent. Maybe they're seeing a bigger role for McNichols in the same way that I think they are seeing a bigger role for Jeremy Reeves on defense, not just a special teamer. Maybe they look at it and say, look, the committee, if it's not just Kroski Merritt, if they're not just sitting back saying, oh, we got a guy that has the vision, has the explosiveness, he's just flat out better than Brian Robinson Jr. Maybe they don't view him as a star, but they just view him as better than Brian Robinson Jr., cheaper than Brian Robinson Jr., a guy that's going to be on the roster in 2026 where Brian Robinson Jr. isn't, so why not try to move him? Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's a by committee. Again, Kroski Merritt, McNichols, Rodriguez, Debo being involved, Eckler being involved, if he's healthy, in some first down situations. Maybe it is either McNichols or Rodriguez. They're like, they're both just as good as Brian Robinson Jr. Neither is under contract next year, but... Although, is Rodriguez? I forget what Rodriguez's situation is. I don't think they have a running back other than Kroski Merritt that's under contract after this year. What is it that they are thinking? 301-230-0980. You can inject what you hope they're thinking and whether or not you think this is a good idea or not. My hunch is this. I think that, and it's the reason that I thought, you know, after the loss to Philadelphia, when we started to talk about the offseason, and I wrote down and I've kept these notes, I've talked about what window number one, and it wasn't going to be the only window with Jaden, but window number one was Jaden's rookie deal and how they were going to address that in 2025. And I wrote six things, actually. Number one was culture continuation. They have to bring back guys like Wagner, Ertz, and even Mariota. I also wrote down Chin. They got rid of Chin. But I'm like, they have to keep that culture. You know, these were free agents, remember. The culture continuation continues when you bring back culture guys like Wagner, Ertz, Mariota. Right, Terry already under contract, so I didn't need to write that one down. Plus, I had the assumption that they would sign Terry to a long-term deal. Number two was defense. And I wrote down, this was the Achilles heel and the reason the season ended one game short of the Super Bowl. Specifically, they need an edge-setting defensive end that can stop the run but can also rush the passer. We were looking for those guys in the first round of the draft. Number three for me, I wrote down, figure out corner and Lattimore. If there's a concern about him, culture fit-wise, playing-wise, you have to address corner. Don't ever fear cutting your losses before they lead to more losses. Well, Lattimore's still here, but they did take a corner early in this draft. They did. Four for me on the six things that I thought they needed to address in the offseason. O-line, they need, more likely than not, another left tackle. They address that in the draft, and they also address that in free agent with a trade for Laremy Tunsil. So Tunsil was really that answer. Connerly obviously going to start on the other side, but could be your future left tackle. Number five was another number two wide receiver and another running back to replace Brian Robinson Jr. as the primary first down back. They didn't necessarily do either of those things. And then I wrote down kicker. They need a new kicker. They did address that. So again, I think what they've come to the conclusion on as it relates to this is they knew they had an issue at running back. They wanted to fix running back. It's very possible that they had running backs in mind in the draft earlier than Jakori Kroski-Merritt, but they took the highest rated players on their board. You know, they took, instead of, you know, in the fourth round, who were the running backs that went in the fourth round? I got to pull it up, actually. But Jalen Lane was their highest rated player. Instead of a running back in the sixth round, they took Kane Medrano in the sixth round. Instead of Jakori, and then Jakori Kroski-Merritt ended up being the best running back in the seventh round. The running backs that went well in advance, I mean, taking away the Gentys, the Hamptons, and the Hendersons, because we thought there was a chance Henderson could be that guy. And even taking away the Judkins and the Caleb Johnsons. On fourth round, it started with Tootin from Virginia Tech, Scataboo, Trevor Etienne. I loved Etienne before this draft. Marks, I liked Hunter from Auburn. He went in the fourth round. Sampson, Jordan James, Jaden Blue went in the fifth. DJ Giddens in the fifth. And then in the sixth, it was Gordon and then Devin Neal. Loved Devin Neal in this draft. Taj Brooks went in the sixth. Loved him. And then in the seventh, before Kroski-Merritt, Damian Martinez went to Seattle. He was my favorite of the sort of day three picks. He went later than we thought. I think later than a lot of people thought. And then Kroski-Merritt, after four more guys in the seventh round, was picked. So maybe they had others in mind, but they had Jalen Lane and Kadren and Medrano rated ahead of the backs who were on the board at that point. And they went with, at their last opportunity, a back that was the highest rated on the board. And they hoped. And now that they've had a chance to see him, maybe they feel like, hey, we got that right. My hunch is they like him a lot. They feel like, as coaches, and they see it a lot more than we do at this point in the year, clearly, this is a guy that they think might be able to work out. But the lack of experience, are you really going to line him up against the Giants? It's one of the positions you can do it. You can do it at running back. You know, you can put a seventh rounder, a fifth rounder out there day one if they're, you know, mature enough to handle the whole thing, which includes, obviously, pass protection. Maybe that's it. My hunch, though, is this is a situation in which they think Kroski-Merritt is not only better, but of more value than Brian Robinson Jr. So is Jeremy McNichols, in particular McNichols. I think they like him in the running game. He's very intelligent. He's obviously a factor on special teams. And with Debo and potentially even Rodriguez, I think they feel like they've got an opportunity by committee to address this until they realize, hopefully, that Kroski-Merritt is a lead back. That's what I think they're thinking, all of whom are much less expensive, with the exception of Debo, of course, but Debo's a weapon. I'm not saying Debo's going to take over Brian Robinson's carries. I'm saying, as part of a committee, you know, he's averaged 40 to 50 carries a year in the league with the 49ers, that it's a by committee, and they think all of those guys, you know, as standalones, as are every bit of Brian Robinson Jr. and more valuable with respect to not only the current cap situation, but the future, where Brian Robinson Jr. isn't going to be around, and now they can get something back for B-Rob. Not a lot, but a sixth rounder did produce Alfred Morris in 2012. So if they got back a sixth rounder for Brian Robinson Jr., remember, it's very possible nobody's interested in Brian Robinson Jr. You know, we always feel like everybody should be interested in our guys. It's not always the case. It's possible that they end up releasing him. I think tonight will be interesting because Kroski-Merritt with the shoulder, and why would you, if you are convinced that you got a guy that's every bit of, you know, Brian Robinson Jr. or better, even if you don't think he's a star, why would you even risk him tonight? So I don't want to see him tonight because that would be an indication that they still need to see more. And I hope that they don't need to see more at this point. Brian Robinson Jr., third round pick 2022. So much for that trade back, chess checkers, Rivera and company against the Saints, where the Saints took Olave. Washington passed on a guy that would have been a star for them in Kyle Hamilton. Should have taken Kyle Hamilton at 11. They traded back. In the trade back, I didn't mind Jahan Dotson. I thought Dotson had a chance to be a good receiver. Did you see the Eagles traded for Mechie? Mechie certainly comfortable with Jalen Hurts. A lot of Bama guys in Philadelphia when you start to add them up. That could spell the end for Jahan Dotson in Philadelphia. But Dotson, Brian Robinson Jr., Sam Howell, and Cole Turner. That's why you can never judge a draft or a draft day trade in the moment or even in the first year. You just can't do it. You've got to wait 3 years. It's been 3 years. That was a terrible trade for Washington, a horrendous trade for Washington. They missed out on Kyle Hamilton, a Pro Bowler, future, all pro, consistent Pro Bowler at safety. Or they could have taken Olave, and Olave would have been a hell of a receiver. You know, he's had some injury issues here and there, but that's why, most will caution on draft day analysis, or even within the first year, a draft day analysis, as you just have to wait. Because that trade, a lot of our fans thought this was chess over checkers. This was fleecing of Philadelphia, of New Orleans. This was super smart. They got a starting running back, a starting quarterback for the future, and a starting, stretch the field wide receiver. And they didn't get any of those things. And New Orleans got Chris Olave. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Brian Robinson Jr., according to many reports, including our own Ben Standig, is, according to his sources, available for trade. What is the thinking among Washington brass? What are you thinking about this trade? I think they just have wanted to see Brian Robinson Jr. replaced. I didn't think they did enough to replace him in the moment through the draft. I certainly was an advocate of signing a Chubb or a J.K. Dobbins for, not a lot of money, very much an on-the-come deal, although they got a little bit more money than just on-the-come from the two teams they signed with. But I think they've wanted to replace him since the season ended, and I think they feel now they've seen enough of Bill, and they know everybody else, that they feel like they can do it by committee early with the expectation of being able to fill that spot with Jacory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill Kroski-Merritt, at some point down the road. What do you think they're thinking? Not to mention the fact that because he's not going to be under contract next year, try to get something, all the while saving $3.4 million in not only cash outlay, but clearing it from your books for the 2025 cap as well, which, may help them in the Terry deal, which hasn't happened. 301-230-0980. Calls on that next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
What do you think the team is thinking in regards to putting Brian Robinson Jr. on the trade block? By the way, we do have a game tonight, 8 o'clock, Monday Night Football. The Bengals are going to play their starters. I had somebody in the know tell me, in the Cincinnati know tell me, looking for the text, that they just want Burrow to play a ton here, and they want him in rhythm with every receiver. So tonight's going to be interesting. He also said something to me that I did not know. Somebody could do the legwork on this to see if it's accurate, that Lattimore has never gone head-to-head with Chase or Higgins in the pros. So seeing Lattimore, look, seeing Trey Amos, seeing Sanra still, seeing this deep, to me tonight, I want to see the defense. I actually, much more so than last week, I have an interest in seeing what the first team defense, if it's out there, and I hope it will be, against the first team Cincinnati offense, who, by the way, already has played in the preseason. I just want to see what it looks like. There's no game planning. You know, it can certainly be incredibly misleading, but mano a mano, I want to see if Washington holds up. And it'll be really interesting to see, you know, to see corners go up against the best pair of wide receivers in the game in Chase and Higgins. And look, the running back situation now looks to be an interesting situation for tonight, because it could really be, you know, Brian Robinson Jr.'s chance to make some sort of statement. Look, they know who he is. They know what he is. I don't think he's going to help himself tonight, you know, even if it's 12 carries for 68 yards and two touchdowns. But other people could make an impression. The question really is what do you think their thinking is putting Brian Robinson Jr. on the trade market? I am kind of much different than I was when the season ended. When the season ended, I thought Brian Robinson Jr. would be gone in 2025. And I thought, but I thought it would be because they would address it in the draft more likely than not, with a night two or early day three pick in a running back loaded draft, somebody that they really liked that they thought could come in and replace Brian Robinson Jr. That didn't happen. They didn't take a running back until the seventh round. They didn't even take flyers on Dobbins or Chubb. They didn't use free agency with Harris or any of the guys like that. So I thought B-Rob was safe, but he's not. What is their thinking? My thinking is that they believe that what they have by committee is more than good enough with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. And to be able to move on from Brian Robinson Jr. now to get a $3.4 million cap savings, not only, not to mention just an overall, you know, outlay, cash outlay, because that's his salary, which gets paid as you go if he's on the team. And then, you know, that's something that might help a Terry deal get done, maybe. But I think that they're looking at Debo. They're looking at Chris Rodriguez. They're looking at Jeremy McNichols. And they're looking certainly at Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, Bill Krosky Merritt. And hoping that by committee early, but down the road, the rookie taking over, that's what their thinking is. And all of it is equal to, at the in a worst case scenario, what they have with Brian Robinson Jr. right now, and they can get something for Brian Robinson Jr., even if it's just the cap savings via a release at some point in the next few weeks. But if they can get back a sixth rounder, you know, a conditional sixth, seventh, something like that, be better than nothing. All right, what do you guys think? What do you think they are thinking? Let's start with Ronnie in Maryland. Ronnie, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. What I'm thinking is they're going by quarter, running back by committee. I'm a little hesitant on Brian Robinson. He didn't give me my parlay last year with the 10 touchdowns, but I think they're going to go by committee. And also, I think on a side note, me and you around the same age, you've got to see Maltese Falcon. Put that on your list. You got to see that, man.
That's a podcast inside. Tommy scolds me for never having seen Maltese Falcon. Yeah, there are a lot of those old movies I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah, we have the same, like, you like a lot of movies that I like, Tarantino movies, certain movies, so yeah. I know you'll love it. If you watch it, you'll love it. But I'm thinking that this kid, Bill, is probably going to end up getting it. Brian's, I think he's run his course, and I think if, I'm curious tonight who they're going to play tonight. And if Bill's got a shoulder injury, I wouldn't put him out there at all tonight.
If Bill's got a shoulder injury, well, we know he's got a shoulder injury. We just don't know exactly where it is. But even if he's almost at full health or at full health, if he's the reason that Brian Robinson Jr. is available for trade, you wouldn't play him tonight, Why would you play him at all? If he's the only reason that you're doing this, he shouldn't have one more carry in the preseason. Not one more.
No, sir. No, sir. No.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Great show, Kevin, and I love the podcast. Talk to you
Appreciate
soon.
It, Ronnie. Yeah. Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, what do you say? Ralphie, you there?
Hey, Kev. Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. What are they thinking putting Brian Robinson Jr. on the trade market?
I think the team is thinking that they need an upgrade for the lead back spot. Because if you look at all 32 teams, I think Brian Robinson will be the worst starting running back currently. And then also, I think the answer has to be on the roster because you can't really plug in and play a running back this late into camp due to the learning curve the player would have to pick up. I mean, unless Cliff wants to reunite with James Conner. And also on this build thing.
Why? James Conner's not available.
No, I'm saying if they would like to trade for him, I'm not sure.
Oh,
like,
they're not going to trade for James Conner at this point. He's too important to Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, he is 30, so you never know. You might be able to, you know, get him for a late draft pick, but I'm still skeptical on Bill. I know a lot of fans.
You're not going to get James Conner for anything. James Conner is a big part of the plan for Arizona because they see potentially a playoff spot this year, don't you think? I don't see it with Arizona, but there are a lot of people that like Arizona to take a big jump this year.
I think if they take a big jump, it's more so in the passing game. That's why, you know, his name has been floating around on social media, so I'm not sure. I was just one of those.
That's interesting. I haven't seen that. Connor's been a much better back, obviously, than Brian Robinson Jr.
Right, for sure. Yeah. Definitely. And like I said, I don't know how high you are on Bill, but I know a lot of fans are, but I'm not high. You know, if they take a running back in the seventh round, although, you know, there has been some undrafted running backs that have been really good, I just think that the learning curve is really steep, and you have to see him in pass protection. It's something that they would really have to know. But I love McNichols. I hope McNichols is the answer. I think he's a complete back. And then Chris Rodriguez, I don't know. You know, you even pointed to it last season. Sums up with him. He just can't.
But they brought him back. Remember, something's been up with him, but they kept him this year. And so he's a talent as a runner. Let's not, you know, I'm not saying that he's an upper echelon talent, but they've seen the talent. They know what he's capable of as a runner. The McNichols thing, look, when they signed him last year, I was like, this is just a guy, right? And he had been just a guy throughout his career. He got more carries last year than he's ever gotten in a season last year. He had another double-digit, I think, reception season. I think he did. And then obviously his snap counts on special teams the most of his career. They loved him on special teams last year. There's something about McNichols. Apparently he is a pros pro smart. They do like him. I can't imagine he's the answer, but I think he's part of my answer, which would be they see by committee as being good enough until hopefully the seventh rounder emerges because they have a gut feel that he might emerge. That's what I think, Ralphie. It sounds like you worst starting running back in the league is hyperbole, but he's certainly not in the top half of backs.
You know, I learned from you because when we had drafted Howell, I was so high, I was just like these other fans thinking he was the answer. And if you draft a quarterback that late, it's the same as a running back. You know, I just don't think that I didn't see enough from Bill in the first preseason game. You know, a lot of times when you pick a running back, they have to be able to pick up protection. I'm not so sure that he's able to do that. Okay. Now, I am confident in Brian Robinson being able to do that. But he just doesn't give you enough as a running back number one. But I love McNichols, so I hope McNichols is the answer.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it as always, Ralphie. Yeah, let me just make one thing clear. The quarterbacks late in the draft, it does not equal running backs late in the draft. Running backs late in the draft, they perform all the time. In fact, sometimes more often than even high round picks. Deep dive around draft time was that in the last 10 years, seventh round running backs haven't produced anything. They're all basically gone or barely contributors, with the exception of Pacheco in Kansas City. Let's go to Frank in Charlotte. Frank, go ahead. What do you think the team is thinking by putting Brian Robinson Jr. on the trade block?
Hello. Good morning. I think this goes back to last year. I don't think they were really happy with him last year, and I think a lot of it has to do with his running style. You know, he runs. He doesn't have a real low pad level. He runs kind of high, and I think that they're not really kind of happy with.
I agree.
Yeah, he runs high, and I think his vision is kind of poor. He has poor vision.
His vision.
I think he has the vision of Trent Richardson. Remember Trent Richardson?
That first round pick out of Alabama.
And he would just run up people's back, and so because he had poor vision, he would run away from daylight. And so I think a lot of that has to do with. And then they got this again, Bill. They got him in, and they got this committee in. I don't think Bill can start right away. I don't think if he does start, it'd be late in the year. The blitz pickup is going to be an issue. They're not going to expose Jaden like that. Like we have other quarterbacks being exposed when, you know, running backs couldn't pick up the blitz. So I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, he has poor vision, salary cap, and this really goes back to probably that Tampa Bay game. He didn't do well in the Tampa Bay game. He did good in Detroit. He was absent in the NFC Championship. So they
had a good game against Detroit, but Detroit was so banged up defensively.
Yeah, they were banged up. They had no starters, basically. So
yeah, you're right.
I think they're looking at all of that, and then they see Bill on the horizon, not just yet, because again, his blitz pickup—that's huge.
We'll see.
He can't. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think all of your points are good ones. I think clearly they like him. All right, uh-huh. And he has looked the part at times. I mean, very few padded practices, right? A joint practice, mm-hmm. One preseason game. I actually was impressed, despite the statistical, less than average night. I actually was impressed with him against New England. I think he's got good vision. There is a bit of an upright, but you saw the vision if you watched all the New Mexico stuff a couple years ago. But, ball protection, pass protection, there's a lot more to playing the position. That's why I think right now it would be hard for them to be super convinced that he's the week one guy and that there's no doubt he's the best guy for the job on the team. But I think they probably have some thoughts that he could develop into that. And so in the interim, it's a by committee situation, which is why they'd be willing to trade if there are any offers. Brian Robinson Jr. Thanks, Frank, for the call. All of you on hold, stay there. 301-230-0980. What's Washington thinking by putting Brian Robinson on the trademark? There are a couple of answers here. The obvious answer, I think, for many of you is they love Bill. They love Jacory Kroski-Merritt. They love Bill Kroski-Merritt. But I think there are other possibilities, including the one that I believe is the truth right now, which is they can do something by committee that is equal to or at least slightly better than paying Brian Robinson Jr. $3.4 million and not getting a draft pick back for him if they can get that, because they're going to lose him next year. They've not really been in love with him all along. And then there is some belief in Kroski-Merritt that he could develop into that guy. Maybe they think he's the guy week one. I don't know. 301-230-0980. We've got a phone line open if you want to weigh in. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app, and all of our Team 980 training camp coverage is brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico.
All right, here's what's happening on this Monday, August 18th. Per Jordan Schultz, the Washington Commanders are listening to offers on Brian Robinson Jr. This news coming after a groundswell of preseason support for 7th-round pick Jacory Bill Kroski-Merritt and veteran Jeremy McNichols. Cliff Kingsbury said prior to this weekend that he likes the running back room a lot and thinks that every guy has a place in this league. After being DFA'd by the Washington Nationals, Nathaniel Lowe is hammering out a deal with the Boston Red Sox. The 30-year-old finds a new home prior to the playoff push, and the Boston Red Sox get an answer to their season-long questions at first base. Plus, the Nats, they fall to the Phillies yesterday by a score of 11-9. Not a great day for Mitch Parker after giving up 6 runs in 1 2/3 innings, but the Nats, they were able to tie it at six in the third inning and got Aaron Nola off the bump, but the Phillies pull away and close it out to not the series at 2 games apiece. Plus, after months of trying to hammer out a deal, the Cincinnati Bengals are reportedly listening to trade calls on Trey Hendrickson, according to reports across the league. Teams that have inquired are the Panthers, Browns, and Colts. Plus, the Commanders, they will take on the Cincinnati Bengals tonight. Dan Quinn says he's excited to get the boys going and looking to get a few series out of Jaden Daniels and the starters. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call. That'll be at 8 p.m. on ESPN. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Denton's Office throughout football season and then some. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right, plenty of reports over the weekend. I think it was Jordan Schultz and then Ben Standing also had sources confirm to him that Brian Robinson Jr. is available for trade. So what's the team thinking? Netting my thought out, I think they've thought for a while that they wanted to improve at that position, and they think they have enough to at least at the beginning of the season do it by committee, and then hopefully at some point down the road do it with their seventh round pick. 301-230-0980. What do you guys think? Let's go to Chris in Annapolis. Chris, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Have me. I think sometimes we overthink about salary cap and all of this stuff. And if I'm the owner and I can get one box of oranges for $10 and another very similar box of oranges for $50, I'm going to pick the one for $10. Like, why would I spend $3.6 million on Robinson when I can get guys in there basically for the minimum to do the same job? Like, it could be that simple. Yes, it helps you on the salary cap. But why would I spend millions of dollars on something that is basically easily replaceable?
Depends on what type of oranges, you know? Like those Cara oranges, you ever had those?
The same, though.
Ever had a good blood orange?
I think it's that simple. Why would I spend millions of dollars? I mean, that's millions of dollars. I know they're rich, but still. You don't get rich by throwing millions of dollars away.
Yeah. Well, it's 3.4 something in salary this year. They'll save something. It's not peanuts. I agree with you. I think the bigger issue is they've been looking to replace him since the season ended. I thought they would do it in the draft much sooner than they did. But the guy they got, they clearly like, and they think in combination. Don't minimize Rodriguez and or McNichols right now, and the way they think about McNichols in particular. And a healthy Eckler, let's face it, they were at their best and most dynamic when Eckler was healthy last season. Chris, thanks. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, go ahead.
What's up?
Hey, Mark.
How you doing, bro?
Good.
You know, it's funny. I've been calling for the last 6 months that they should cut this man. And you can't have an athletic quarterback like Jaden Daniels or like Lamar Jackson and not rush for 1,000 yards. That's embarrassing.
You know what?
And I agree
that's
with
why
you.
I thought I he was going to have a big year last year, Mark, as you
I
know.
I did too. Yeah. We all did. We all did. After the bye, I mean, my God, he was got. The first half of the season before the bye, Brian Robinson was awesome. Then after the bye, it just seemed like, I don't know, it was like he would run, he would do the pity pat. Pity pat, I ain't going to run, I ain't going to do this, I'm not going and it
yeah,
got
it wasn't super decisive. But
no, it wasn't.
You know what was hard to figure out was it him or was it the O-line? Clearly they addressed O-line, but they also thought
true.
Part of it was him.
Well, see, here's the sad part about that. Rodriguez would come in there, he would rush through the holes, wasn't a problem. Look at the Atlanta game.
The Atlanta game.
He was rushing through. The other kid, McNichols, same thing. These guys had higher averages than Brian did.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he was allowed to come to camp, to be honest with you. I'm surprised they let him in here.
I think if the board had gone a certain way on draft night and the back or backs that they liked were there you know, in the fourth or fifth or sixth, mm-hmm. I have a feeling he wouldn't be. But they didn't pick one until the seventh, and they probably weren't sure until they got to, you know, the summer that they had gotten it right, if they did get it right. Who knows?
Yeah, he would have been gone. He would have been gone. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, great show, Kev. You know how it is.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Lap. Lap, what do you say? Thanks for holding.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, Lap, how are you?
Man, good, man. I just think if we'd have got Bucky Irvin in the draft, wouldn't have been in this situation right now. But I like Bill, just like the team likes him.
Bucky Irvin wasn't this past draft.
Like Brian Robinson.
2023.
I did like Brian Robinson, but I still think. Yeah.
That's what I meant. It was last year's draft, not this year's draft. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like Brian Robinson, but I just think, they slowly but surely seem like they're getting rid of Jay Gruden and Ron Rivera players, man. It's just funny to me. But I guess we'll see, man. And I just want Jaden to have that young guy to build with, man, on this team and have chemistry with that he can have with for a while. And maybe it's one of those guys, and maybe it's Lane, maybe it's somebody else, but we got to get that running game going to take the pressure off of him, man, because we do not want him to be Superman, and we definitely want Terry out there. So we'll
you know what's interesting as you're talking?
It's unfortunate, man.
I'm thinking about something, Lap. If Derrick Henry had been available this year instead of last year, God, that would have been an unbelievable fit, obviously. But they weren't thinking contention, and Derrick Henry wasn't thinking of Washington as a possibility to contend either. But imagine they had been, an NFC off of an NFC championship loss last year, and Derrick Henry was available to come in and play with Jaden Daniels. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
The simple answer is not that good. I don't think he'll be picked up for a sixth, seventh, or any combination. I think he'll be released.
It's certainly possible.
And I think the caller who said the oranges analogy is spot on. It's just production per dollar, and he doesn't produce enough. And outside of Linnell Willingham, I don't know anyone who's a super B-Rob fan as a player.
Is Linnell a big B-Rob fan?
Oh, almost delusionally so. He's your Daron Payne, it's just one of these things where...
Well, Daron Payne was a Pro Bowler.
You're
Pro
right,
Bowler.
You're right.
Yeah.
But, I think what I like to see, and I'm not the captain of the Adam Peters fan club, as you know, and we've litigated this before.
Yeah,
but I do like that they
litigation.
Are act. Yeah, that's fine. What I do like is that they are eager to make moves quickly. And when someone doesn't fit in, move on quickly. And I think it would have been ideal if they could have done this maybe before the draft and had a potential pick then. But now I think he's just going to be released and who knows what will happen, but at least they're doing something. It'd be nice if they signed their second best player on offense, but that's a different discussion for every other day.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate it. Let's go to our guy Little. Little, go ahead. What do you think they're thinking putting Brian Robinson on the trade market?
Kev, thank you for taking my call. Shout out to Mad Max. Well, I look at it, Kev, they misusing him. The young blood wouldn't hit the field until we get inside the 30 red zone. That's how you use them back. You keep them on the sideline, make them eager. Keep them hyped. We cross the 50-yard line, I need you to be in the game to punish these. I'm going to tell you now, you better beware because if Philly snaps him, what about that combination, St. Barkley, then you come with B-Rob. That's all I
know,
but
what do you think the team's thinking, Little?
Hey, look, I will keep him on that sideline until we cross the 50-yard line. Then
keep
he'd be
who
eager
on the sideline? The young buck or B-Rob?
B-Rob wouldn't touch the field until he get across the 50.
I know, but why do you think he's on the trade block? That's the question. Why do you think he's on the trade block? Not how they've used him or misused him. Why do you think they are willing to trade him?
He cut that ball up a lot, Kevin. That's what I think. They think the fumbling is hindering right now him moving forward. But I'll tell you what, if I was in the coaching, he'd be on that sideline until we get in the red zone. That's all I got for you, Coach.
All right, Little. Thank you. He's got four lost fumbles, seven fumbles total in three seasons. The two fumbles that were both lost both happened in the same game last year. It was the game in which they had five turnovers and won against Philly late in the season. Let's go to Chuck in South Carolina. Chuck, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Me, personally... I think last season they wanted to see more of Brian Robinson just because I felt like he got drafted. He had very low mileage. He didn't hardly play until his senior year at Alabama. Then he came in to replace Antonio Gibson, big, powerful kid. But I just didn't think he was all the way a running back.
He had a hell of a lot of production at Alabama in his final year. Remember, he was an older player.
Right, but he had, you know, low mileage up until his senior year. But and me personally, when they replaced him when they placed Gibson with him, I always thought Gibson was a better back. He had the fumbling issue, but when they got Robinson, it seemed like Robinson had more fumbles than Gibson, and I just felt like
I don't think he did. Gibson had a fumbling problem. Brian Robinson Jr. didn't really have a fumbling problem.
He did.
He had two fumbles last year, both in the same game. That was it. Ball was never coughed up at any other point in the season.
But what I'm saying is his rookie year that he replaced Gibson, he actually had more Gibson didn't even fumble. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, that last year Gibson was here. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just felt like they wanted to see him based off potential. You understand what I'm saying? But I just don't think the vision is there. He's a good back, but he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a good back by committee.
He's just okay.
Starter.
He's always just been okay.
Just okay. You know, right. He ain't no home run hitter, though.
Yeah, the 2023 season, when Sam Howell threw 30,000 passes in one year, we thought that B-Rob had really become more versatile as a pass catcher. But it was really the volume of passes that resulted in some of that. By the way, Gibson had one bad fumbling season, his second season, but it was a bad fumbling season. He fumbled six times, lost three in that season in 2021. For those of you I didn't get to, apologize. We can come back to this later on in the show. Steve Sands is going to join us next. I'll ask him about Brian Robinson Jr. He's a huge fan of the team. But we'll also talk about, my God, Scottie Scheffler, an absolute machine. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, when we talk Washington training camp coverage here on the Team 980, it's brought to you nationally by GEICO. Switch and save. Get more with GEICO.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.